Recurrence Analysis of Cardiac Electrical Events in Health and Disease. Charles, glad to have you.
Thank you very much. I want to describe for you a technique which I've been working on for 30 years, and I'm going to apply it to cardiac rhythms. And I'm a medical physiologist and work with pulmonary, respiratory, gastric, brain rhythms. The idea is rhythm, and I want to ask the question about what information is found in heart patterns. In Psalm 19, 1-6, which is familiar to all of us, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Question, is there speech or no speech in the created order? I want to show you that there's indeed speech, but it's not like we expect. How about the telltale heart? Remember this Edgar Allan Poe? It's really a confession, probably before an investigator, where he had murdered someone with an evil eye, and he would go and look at the evil eye and shine a lantern, and he came in and one day and he killed the man, and there came to my ears a low, dull, quick sound. I knew that the sound well, too well. It was the beating of the old man's heart, which was underneath the boards of the very living room where the policeman and the murderer sat. Hearts speak. But the beating grew louder and louder. I thought the heart must burst, but for many minutes the heart beat on with a muffled sound. At length, it ceased. The old man was dead. Now, you're familiar with the electrocardiogram, are you not? There's five waves, sometimes six. But this is the activation of the myocardial muscle, which propels blood around the body and sustains life. When your signal goes flat, this is when the monitor in the nursing station goes beep. And what happens is the nursing station comes, they call a code, and you need to come and see if you revive the person if he doesn't have a DNR on him. Do not resuscitate. I want to talk about the electrocardiogram as a source of information, and I want to show this to you like this. Here's an electrocardiogram recorded from one of our medical students years ago, and it has the typical P wave, Q, R, S, T, and sometimes U. There's a U wave, which is a late repolarization of the ventricular basis. That's a technicality. What I'm going to do is note that we can mark each cardiac beat, the electrical rhythm of the biggest wave. When the ventricle contracts, you have this big wave. And I'm going to mark it. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to substitute letters for the duration of the interval. Okay? So that's dependent upon how long the interval is. And I'll tell you what that means in a moment. Now, if you string these all together, you can have a text. Can you read it? The heart has its own language, okay? Has its own language. Now, I'm reminded of a Calvin cartoon. Calvin and Hobbes, this is a great cartoon. Explain Newton's first law of motion in your own words. Now, since I can't read this, let me play it for you. Here's what it sounds like.
Yak put ma grunt pub quick zinc wadum gazer chumbles buzz.
In his own words. He has his own language. Sometimes twins have their own. I have twin granddaughters, and sometimes they speak their own language when they're born. It's kind of interesting. And he says, I love loopholes. Let me talk about my favorite scientific text. This is Dr. Seuss. We've heard of him before, and I think that was in one of Fred's slides, one of Seuss's. How is it possible for Dr. Seuss to write his poem that has 112 total words, but he only has 50 words to pick from? 50 would be the vocabulary size. 812 is the length of the text, and the answer is words get reused. Are they reused at the same intervals? No. They're in different sequences and so forth to make the story. Let me ask this question. How probable would it be to reassemble this entire poem that has 2,438 letters if they fell out of the text and you have a pile of letters in front of you? You've lost no A's, you've lost no B's, you've lost no C's. What you've lost is sequence. Can you reassemble the poem? Or can you write your own poem and use all the text, all the words, all the letters? So the point is, yeah, we could get creative, but could you come back with his text? So here's the scrambled letters. I had a, it was malware I've seen on a computer. You're writing in Word, and all of a sudden the A's are falling out and the X's are falling out, and you get this big pile of letters at the bottom of the screen. And you say, there went my paper or whatever. All right, let's see how we can make the heart talk. Or let's reveal how the heart talks. So here's Green Eggs and Ham. Dr. Seuss wrote it in 1960. It starts like this. I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam I am. That's Sam I am. That's Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like Green Eggs and Ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like Green Eggs and Ham. Let's do a substitution. Let's substitute 1 for A, 2 for B, 3 for C, 4 for D, 26 for Z. You get it? I am Sam. 9, 1, 13, 19, 1, 13. That's picking up every single letter. It repeats. Sam I am. Now you'll note that the 19, 1, and 13 is at the front end because Sam, this is Sam, and now Sam's on this end. Okay? And then here's, you can just keep doing. Do you understand what I'm trying to do? Let's just look at the first total letters, and there's only four different letters there, I, A, M, and S. There's only four different letters. And let's do this. This is called a recurrence plot. The reason it's called a recurrence plot, because if I have a letter A, and it can recur in the sentence someplace, it recurs. So we call it a recurrence plot. Now look what happens. I put along the horizontal axis I-A-M-S-A-M, I-A-M-S-A-M. I'm using numbers, of course, but I'll do it by letters. I put the exact same text on the vertical scale. Wherever an I matches an I, plot a point. Well, there's an I here, I-I, I-I. You see that? A-A, A-A, A-A. You'll note that the whole text on the horizontal scale and the vertical scale match across the board. We call that the line of identity. You look in the mirror and you say, boy, I certainly look like myself. So the point is that we have this reflection across this axis, and you'll see that there's a pattern here. And you can say, well, how many dots do I have in this graph which are not on the blue line, but how many are over here? And you can actually count them. You can say, well, there's 14 points. And you say, okay, let's get scrambled eggs. Green eggs and ham, scramble them up. I've lost all the letters, have a pile of letters, and I try my best, and I get here I get A, M, M, A, S, I, et, and so forth. Let's put the same code here. I get the same line of identity. Look what happens. Do you see the difference in pattern from the right side, scrambled, and the native or natural side? You'll note that across, there's a reflection across the axis that the data is the same. So we're just going to do quantification in the upper triangle, and that's what this triangle means. How many points are off the diagonal? The answer is same. Have the exact same letters, they're just in different sequence. Now what's happened is, when letters are in a sequence, that would mean we have a certain text being repeated. It can be a word, or it could be across words. It could be many words. When you scramble it up, it all codes to random. So what we say, how can we quantify this? We say, whenever you have two or more letters in a diagonal structure, mark it, put a dot on it. And you'll see that 14 of 14 points get marked. Over here, only four or six of 14 points get marked. In other words, that we call it determinism in the sense that the deterministic structure has just fallen. We've lost information. So I'm going to expand it and give you a little bigger plot. Here's the green eggs and ham. Here's the phrase. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. Here's the code. This is the first line. This is the second line. each letter stands, each number stands for a letter. One is A, two is B, three is C. There's 44 total letters in this, and there's 16 different letters, so we've expanded it. It's a little bit bigger viewpoint. And the letters are sequenced like this. Do you like green eggs and ham and so forth? What I've done is I've colored red. There's repeats. Do and do. You see that? Like and like. Am goes over here. Actually, it's ham I do. So A-M-I matches with A-M-I over here. That'd be a match. The dots just help you read it. It's not in the numerics. Here's the recurrence plot. Same idea. We have this ubiquitous line of identity. Just look at the upper half of the triangle. And we say, okay, here's the letters 1 to 44, which would be the 44 letter sequence we have. Here's a D. It starts with a D. D. Here's another D. Here's another D. But this lines up with another second letter, D-O. So this we circle this. This is these are deterministic points. Here's an EG match. Here's a like match. SA match, AM match, AMI match, and so forth. And so you can do the mathematics, and it says, what percent of that triangle has points in it? And the idea is 5% of the plot has points. What percent of the points on the plot are in line structures? 32% of the plot, okay? 32%. Scramble it. Let's scramble the eggs. And we can see that there's some matches. There's some matches. The recurrence is exactly the same because we have the exact same letters, but we don't have the sequence the same, so the deterministic structure falls. We're interpreting deterministic structure as rules. In other words, there's some kind of underlying rules in the sequence that we can destroy by mixing up the eggs. Let's take the first 400 letters of the poem, Green Eggs and Ham. The recurrent structure here, 7% of the plot of the upper triangle is recurrent. Of those points, 42% are in line structures. Now, if you look at that, can you see the rhythm? Can you see the rhythm in the poem? Can you see why children like his books? Because of the alliteration and the repeats and the pattern and that kind of thing. And that actually is a good way to memorize things, is when you have that kind of pattern. And when you have music, when you have something that sticks in your brain in a certain way, it's a vector to your memory. So we see we have these kind of patterns. Some of these are very long lines, and you can quantify the length of those lines, and I do that, but I'm not going into those details. Let's scramble it. Let's mix it all up. Aha. Determinism falls precipitously. Same number of points, so it's still 7.4%, but the determinism falls apart. All right, that's the background. We want to see how a heart can speak. And what we've done here, remember at the beginning we had those big tall waves? We measured the distance from one to the next. That's called R-wave to R-wave interval, or RRI, R-wave, R-wave interval. And here's an interval which is rather long. If the interval is 1 second, we know that the heart rate for that point is 60 beats a minute. If it drops down to 0.7, the heart rate goes up to 85 a minute. So it's a frequency scale, too, if you invert it. 1 over an interval is a frequency. The mean here is 0.82 seconds, and standard deviation, 0.047 seconds. What I've done is I've taken the sequence of RR intervals, which are produced by a human heart beating, scramble them up by random, okay? Scramble them up, and here we have this signal. It has the identical mean, 0.892 seconds, the identical standard deviation. But the pattern sort of looks different. It looks different. So what I'm saying is that standard statistics, such as standard deviation, standard means and modes and all those kind of things, are not sequence dependent. You lose information when you use that. That's a very weak metric. So what we do is we say, okay, let's make a histogram bin the RR intervals. There's 400 of them here. And we say, well, some are really, really short. Some are really, really long, like that. And so we have this. And Then what we do is we say, okay, let's take these bins and rank order them from the biggest bin to the lowest bin. You can do that. Just put them in that kind of an order. And then I say, okay, and the cum sum is the same. It's 400 for both because everything's accounted for. Then all we do is we say the most common interval, which would be this right here, the most common interval, I'm just going to label with E. Just label it with E. Why? Because that's the most common letter in the English alphabet. The least common interval found in the cardiac sequence, I'm going to label Z because that's the least common letter. So these letters are actually found by Google searches from data from millions of texts, English texts. So it's statistically accurate. So we have these kind of the sequence. So this is the most common interval, next, least common interval. Now all we have to do is substitute back, map back to get the text. And here we go. So here we have this text. I know it's jammed together, but what happens is the dots represent each point like an interval. Here, this is interval. Here's an interval of 0.95. If anything falls within this bin, it's labeled with an L. But it has to go in sequence. So this will go L, M, and so forth. You just go through this. And what happens is then you have a text which can be read, supposedly read. But there's only 26 bins here. We go from the minimum interval to the maximum interval. There's 26 bins. A is here. The most common one is E, so that falls into this bin. And each data run would be unique. Here is a recurrence plot of heart text. Normal, red, everything in red is the normal heart. And we look at this, we say, okay, for 400 intervals, we have 7.3% of the plot is recurrent. 7.3% is recurrent. 23% of the points on the plot are in line structures, diagonal line structures. Okay? Okay, so remember that number, 23. We randomize, shuffle it up. Here's what the plot looks like. The determinism falls to 15%. Recurrence is exactly the same because all intervals are accounted for. They're all accounted for, but the determinism falls. And what we conclude from this is that with the falling deterministic structure, there must have been some meaning in the original text of the heart. So here we've done this with 34 different individuals. The recurrence value, here, this is the one I've rank ordered them according to recurrence. So subject one has a large recurrence, about 17%, and then it goes down and down and down and so forth. The red ones are the deterministic construction of that subject, and then the green is after you shuffle it. So you'll note that consistently, the reds fall to the green. High structure, when it's not shuffled or mixed or scrambled, scramble it, it falls. It happens in every sing. 34 out of 34 cases, the deterministic structure falls. And what we conclude with a Wilcoxon match paired signed ranks test, highly significant at the 001 level. So that's a statistical proof of that. Here's the normal heart speaking.
No, I can't pronounce it until I've recorded it. Here's what it sounds like. It's only the first two lines, so I don't want to bore you.
Normal heart speaks. Lsgasel CTAISEO imat gug mlio ra amusi yilm glian psmu tassel quasia ee dre CILMMEEI ahad is dico CII dita ee tesi tat ir pastesia osler ICLC eel CAPNKVQ.
You understand that?
Scramble it. See if you can see a difference.
Scrambled heart speaks. Ner et durel morsol ur elio kihvic ante ahct nasi et dz clear white o I o e ante ese e tet erp tun runic off it to so re e e u u I I I bat near mu I a a f a go they lave smisers e e tolid nitin re a gal rowdy.
I can't tell the difference. I can't tell the difference. So that's why you have to go to the mathematics to see it in the numbers. The recurrence plots that we can produce are beautiful. There's a beauty, but there's information in that beauty, but we rely on the metrics for their meaning. So let me say it this way. When we have structures in the physical world, they can be time-dependent functions, they can be spatial-dependent functions, they can be motions of the stars, they can be stripes on a rock or a zebra. You can convert the wall into a language. Everything is speaking. Everything. So you have a viewpoint of looking at things. If you're looking at an electron micrograph, you can see speech pouring out. And sometimes it's better to look at the picture because it gives you a detail. But the point is something's speaking. What happens in cardiac disease, it's possible as we age, we get atrial flutter, we get atrial tachycardia, we get atrial fibrillation, we can get VTAC, we can get ventricular tachycardia, we can get ventricular fibrillation, and we can get death. Here's a recording from human atrial. It's called an atrial electrogram, not an electrocardiogram, and its activity. And what I've done is I've measured the time between each of these events. And you'll note something happens here. Right here, there's a conversion back to a normal rhythm. This atrial tachy means fast. Atrial tachycardia, we're going 300 beats a minute. And then there's a conversion. And we're back to more of a normal 60 beat a minute. What's it look like in language? E, 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 like this. Well, I'll let the computer do it.
Couple minutes. 3 minutes. Got it. Pathological heart speaks.
That's equivalent to the monitor going. Why is it E? Because that's the most common letter in the English alphabet, and that's the most common interval in this plot. The point is this. When a person is healthy, it has a certain kind of speech pattern. If a person has a stroke, the speech pattern can be slurred, right? Or if a person's on drugs, you can have a slurred speech. In other words, what I'm saying is that when a physician's diagnosing information, they do it in terms of MRIs and images and so forth, but you can view it as the speech has changed. The speech has changed. But everybody still speaks. We even have sign language, right? You can't speak with your mouth, or a person who's dumb, they can speak with their hands. There's different ways to communicate. So just a few closing comments. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen. Speech or no speech, which is it? Is it invisible or is it clearly seen? So I love this. This the way of saying is, Job says, you know, go to the rocks. It's called a geology. Go to the rocks, see what they tell you. Go to the animals. And they speak too. But the God's eternal power and divine attributes have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse. In a sense, every person on this planet has been brought up in the environment of this world, and God is speaking all over the place, certainly from the cosmos, from the trees, from the rivers, from the rocks. Everything has speech and language. Jesus answered, he says, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. We can make stones talk too. But now ask the beasts and let them teach you. Let the birds of the heavens and let them tell you. Last line. Let the birds of the heavens tell you. If you have writer's block as a musician, look out your window and look at the way the blackbirds are posted on wires and say, wait, this is music. I can convert that into a music scale. And that's the whole intent here. This is the methodology. This is just the beginning. Recurrence quantification analysis website with software. Thank you very much. Questions? Yes.
I think I've read that the basic heartbeat slightly aperiodic, because if we're completely periodic, part of more than oscillation. If you want it to oscillate, you want it to be, you know, it's periodic, but there's a slight variation in each of the waves, just a very tiny.
It's not only tiny, it's quite high. There's a measurement called heart rate variability.
Right.
And when you have parasympathetic output to the heart, you have a slow heart rate. And what happens is you're in a calm state. So if you read books on meditation, going into the forest bathing things, where we take in tactile information from the forest, not just seeing that, smelling, touching, feeling, these kind of things, your heart goes down. Tension goes down. You're relaxed. And when you have that, the heartbeat is variable. What's variable in a heartbeat, though, you have the PQRST, pause, PQRST, pause. The variability in heart is in the pause. I call the pause the Sabbath rest of the heartbeat. So in other words, the heart is awake for half a second.
Right.
It's asleep for another half a second. Two halves make one interval, 60 beats a minute. But when we get stressed, your heart goes up faster, faster. The time between beats gets closer and closer and closer. You lose the Sabbath rest. When you lose the Sabbath rest, you go beep, 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 beep. How long can you do that? Well, you can exercise, but you need that rest. So that would be a stress situation. So we can use heart rate measurements to talk about stress on the heart and on the whole body. So you're correct. But variability is the key of the game. Yes?
So the current plots are a way that electrophysiologists have used in the past to find repeated elements when you compare a sequence to itself, and look for similarities between two different sequences. Of course, in this case, you don't have to transform into letters. You already have letters. So have you played any of these DNA sequences to see what they sound like?
Yes, we've done DNA. We've done protein sequences.
One more question. So if you just sat with the heart rhythm, actually when we listened to it, it kind of sounds the same, whether it was scrambled or not. But does DNA sequence sound differently than protein sequence sound differently than...
Well, the DNA sequence only has four integers in the many times that with the protein, the amino acid code. But yeah, you can do the same analysis and then scramble to see structures, and we have done this. The point is that, I mean, I haven't gone into it, but this what you're talking about are called dot plots. And dot plots were preceding this. We recognize that. What I didn't talk about is embedding dimension. We can say, do 5 points in a row match with another 5? That's a different question. So we raise the dimensionality. And there's a lot of nonlinear reasoning for doing that. And what I'm saying is that this methodology allows us to detect, for example, muscle fatigue in a fatiguing muscle sooner than FFTs, or fast Fourier transforms. So not that it's a nonlinear tool, it's more sensitive. So it's like saying, if you have a bad weather front coming through, the farmer doesn't look at the weather, the farmer looks at his chicken. The chicken's the early detector, because the change in the ionic electrical fields and all this kind of, the chickens run, and so the farmer runs if the chicken runs. I got a better chicken.
So my question is, which of these heartbeat plots do you use as a wallpaper in your house?
We have converted some of the plots to T-shirts. I give that to my collaborator. Thank you.
Also, I'd like to ask, thanks for letting me know that I've taught my grandkids scientific while reading them Brain, Eggs, and Ham, right?
Yes. So,
but my question is, is this an active area of research, looking at the patterns from the heartbeat and trying to get more out of it? So is the heartbeat and all of those patterns telling us more about the health than we are able to tell right now?
Yes, and I'm using this technology with a cardiologist from University of Madison, Wisconsin, and they ablate certain parts of the atrial tissue to stop atrial fibrillation. And this, we're trying to figure out, is it possible to use the signals from the atrium to get the best place to place the electrode to do the burn?
Okay.
Thank you
very much.